This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Fairfield, California is just 45 minutes from San Francisco to the west and 45 minutes to Sacramento to the east. But it's most definitely a world apart. The Fairfield region is home of the legendary Jelly Belly Candy Factory and Solano Land Trust Rush Ranch Nature Center with 2,000 acres of marsh and grassland. Fairfield also claims its very own wine-growing region called Suisun Valley, just minutes away from downtown. It's a timeless treasure and a California best-kept secret destination. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for an exploration of Fairfield and Suisun Valley's wine region with Anand Patel, CEO at Visit Fairfield, followed by a visit with Frank Vieser, owner of Vieser Family Vineyards, and his general manager, Pam Valdivia. Vieser's tasting room is located at the historic Mancus Corner in the heart of Suisun Valley.
I am Anand Patel, and I am the president and CEO of Visit Fairfield, California. We are a destination halfway between San Francisco and Sacramento, just about 20 minutes outside of Napa. And we are home of the world-famous Jelly Belly Candy Company and, of course, the growing, beautiful Suisun Valley wine region.
So you grew up, you were a local boy in Paso Robles, California, not far from me.
That's right. I am a Bearcat. Grew up there after bouncing around the country as a kid and kind of landed there and settled there. My family had a business there in actually tourism, more on the lodging side.
Do you still have family there?
I have friends there, not family, mm-hmm. but I do have family that live in Santa Maria, but mm-hmm. so still Central Coast, but I do enjoy going back there periodically.
What brought you up here to Fairfield?
I went to college up here in the Bay Area and then realized quickly I didn't want to get into the corporate world and decided I'd like to pursue the hotel industry as my family and other Indian Americans across the country have done in the past, and found an opportunity with a partnership group to actually build a hotel here in Fairfield. And so we did build the hotel. It was a Holiday Inn Express hotel and suites, which I managed for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And within that time, there became a need with the city to develop the destination from a tourism standpoint. And so they created a nonprofit and a TID, a Tourism Improvement District, to fund the organization, which I served on as a founding board member, which I served on for about 7 years until the opening of President CEO was available. And I thought it was a good time to make a transition into a different facet of the tourism industry.
You know what's really interesting is my time in California predates your birth by far.
I mean, I suspect.
I was a little kid in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, we worked at Sugar Bowl on the weekends, and every Friday we'd drive right by your exit on Interstate 80 on the way to the Sierras. I don't think we ever stopped in for gas. All I knew of Fairfield was there was an Air Force base on one side of the road and flatland. And then I came here this week, and I've been blown away. It's one of the most touching destination investigation times in California because of that Suisun Valley, which you just would not imagine. It's, what, 6 miles from Napa over the hill?
Right.
And has a lot of the same, the mountains and dense foliage and just beautiful. But it's also this place out of time.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the beauty of our valley, is that it's a very personal experience. When you walk into some of these tasting rooms, you're not only meeting, not only is the winemaker potentially pouring your wine for you, but likely the namesake. In fact, mm-hmm. The case of Mangles Vineyards, which I don't believe you were able to visit, but they've got beautiful grounds, and Gary Mangles is there pouring the wine for you, or the Lanza family out at Wooden Valley.
So yeah, everywhere I went was family. That was right. Really, and they were there.
And I believe you may have also met the namesake of Veazer family vines, Frank Veazer.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
Yeah, so it's just a very personal experience, mm-hmm. which I really appreciate about this valley.
But who would think this close to San Francisco, a major urban center, that you have this slow, sleepy, time warp? It's like 1940s.
Right.
Even the architecture, the old farmhouses and the right. barns. It's like,
well, I'll tell you who did notice was Chuck Wagner of Wagner Family Wines up in Rutherford, whose primary brand is Camus Vineyards. He noticed quite some time ago and moved his entire production facility here to Fairfield. So anywhere that you pick up a bottle of Camus or one of their other brands, it says Fairfield, California on it. They're also investing in the valley with a beautiful tasting room. It'll actually be their first tasting room outside of Rutherford. Despite having 5 or 6 other brands under their family of wines, this is the first one that they're actually opening a tasting room, and it also holds their namesake for the first time, so it is named Camus Sassoon.
Very cool. And what a great destination for a biking couple. It looks like just heaven.
Absolutely. And I kick myself because in the midst of COVID, I actually got into cycling and I kind of scratched my head wondering, well, gee, I should have really gotten into this quite a lot sooner because we have some beautiful country out here. We actually attempted to bring in a professional cycling event here many years ago, and they used to actually host some and usually going up and around over to Napa. So.
And then the 1850s, little Mancus Corner is just a place out of time that's cute as a bug. I couldn't believe it.
And, you know, the hope is, obviously, what's there is very, not limited, but it's, you just want more of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't get enough of that little corner.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, we'll be opening a visitor center out there here in the coming year. But there is a lot of room out there. Chuck Wagner, again, has actually purchased a big component of that and is likely going to be developing that in the coming years. You know, I suspect it'll fall in line with that very, the feel of that corner, just to make sure that it really all fits together.
And again, it's 6 miles from Napa. It's basically the same terroir, the same quality of grapes. But the difference is, like you alluded to, you walk in and you meet the owner and the family. And there aren't exorbitant tasting room fees, and there aren't lines and endless traffic jams and whatnot. It's,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, the Sassoon Valley AVA was actually created just 6 months after the Napa Valley AVA. Mm-hmm. Although Napa Valley obviously skyrocketed in international notoriety, you know, we weren't very far behind as far as the start of the region. But to give you an idea, the Wooden Valley Winery was actually started just a few years after Prohibition. So there's been a wine element in this valley for decades and decades.
Yeah. Then flip side of the coin is giant, the world's biggest jelly bean company, Jelly Belly, where you can go out there. Very different experience.
It sure is, but I really appreciate how they embrace the Sassoon Valley in how they can kind of develop other products for visitors.
I took their tour a couple days ago.
Great. Were you able to do the chocolate and wine pairing experience? I'm not sure if that's quite opened up yet.
No, a couple people asked me that.
And so they pair 6 Sassoon Valley wines with chocolates that they actually make in-house, which is a great, fun experience. And we were granted a license with the state of California last year to open a California Welcome Center, which I believe you stopped in and looked at. So that's to serve visitors, again, not only coming through Fairfield, but just from a regional perspective as well.
For somebody from the Central Coast motoring tour, maybe on their way to Yosemite, you know, or
Tahoe.
Sacramento. You really are strategic and an easy stop-off, even if it's one night stay. You know,
absolutely.
2 days, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's kind of the idea behind even our visitor centers is really an education component. A lot of times travelers do plan in some flexibility, especially on road trips, because they never know what they're going to discover and they want to leave room for it. Unless they're going to some large institution, you know, Disneyland or something.
If they're just kind
of doing the byways and highways of the backcountry, they're going to leave themselves open. So that's where we feel there's a great opportunity to...
Well, then, here's my idea. Everybody, at some point, you got to go to Disneyland.
Sure.
Once. You got to go to Vegas at least once. You have to go to Napa at least once. But I dread the thought of going to Napa in the season because of just the traffic and whatnot. So my thought would be base camp right here in Fairfield, do the little valley here, and then, what, an hour drive, half-hour drive?
Well,
and
to get to the Napa County line from any one of our hotels, it's about, the closest would be 5 miles. Get into downtown Napa, about 20 minutes without traffic.
Perfect.
And to go all the way up valley, mm-hmm. you know, let's say to Rutherford or even further to Calistoga, you know, 45 minutes at most. But mm-hmm. again, that's the tip of the Napa Valley.
Yeah. But that would be my recommendation. The best of both.
Absolutely. And you've actually found where a lot of our leisure travelers do come from is Napa has got some amazing hotels and wineries, but people want to experience it and sometimes they're on a budget. And mm-hmm. so our hotel offerings are fantastic. They just want a place to lay down their head and maybe grab some breakfast and some coffee in the morning. And then they want to get out and explore. And so it ends up being a much more budget-friendly option.
And discovering the best kept secret Suisun Valley wine
Absolutely.
Growing region. Yeah, that's so cool.
And that's why we work very closely with our hotels to make sure that although we get the Napa visitors, mm-hmm. to really try and show them what we have here locally as well, so that yeah. if they, again, have flexibility in their schedule to stay that extra night, it benefits our hotels as well.
To learn more about the world of Fairfield and Suisun Valley, where would you direct the listener?
Well, we highly recommend checking out our website at visitfairfieldca.com. Of course, you could find the same handle through Instagram and Facebook just to keep up on current events. And we hope that you will come join us. My name is Anand Patel, and we look forward to seeing you.
Anand, thank you so much for the time. It was great meeting you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too.
And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from California's heartland. We'll see you here.
My name is Frank Veazer, the owner of Veazer Family Vineyard. It's actually pronounced Vezer, but most of the locals know us as Veazer. And Blue Victorian Winery and Chateau Jean, all in beautiful Suisun Valley.
And the Chateau, is that like an inn? Or
B&B? Chateau is an Airbnb, but also the property has a bonded port house where we make our barrel ports.
Nice.
Hi, I am Pam Valdivia. I am the general manager for Veazer Family Vineyard. I've known the family forever, I'm going to say at least 20 years, and I've been thankfully working here now for 6.
When did this all start? Why and how?
This site here in Mancus Corners, which is basically the heartbeat of Suisun Valley. Suisun Valley is roughly about 6,000 acres of vines, and it's in between Fairfield, California, and Napa, California. It's called the back road to Napa, or we're sometimes referred to as the backside of Napa.
It really is. It's incredible how it's like this best-kept secret place. It's so beautiful, so stunning. And yet, I bet a lot of people never come over the hill from Napa.
It's surprising that way the advertising and the hotels have worked. A lot of the tourists are coming to Fairfield and traveling to Napa instead of paying the $1,200 a night room fee. And they're realizing they're finding these spectacular vineyards. But our wineries are mostly based on the local population. The location here has been established since 1853.
Wow, the gold rush is rocking and rolling at that time. So this really was...
The story begins with a Hungarian Croatian by the name of Manka. And Mancus was the first stagecoach stop after the 49ers came off of the paddle wheel boat, because Bay of Suisun was the furthest inland port in California up until World War II. And the corner of Mancus Corners is the turning point to the Knoxville Trail, the Suisun to Knoxville Trail. And Knoxville was where all of the gold was discovered in the Trinity Alps. So this Croatian, a Hungarian, his name was Manka. Back at that time, Hungary and Croatia were one country. He did not do too well in the mining side of it, but he remembered the stagecoach stop. He stopped it in Suisun Valley. And it had a brothels upstairs, a saloon downstairs, the miners' mercantile for all their supplies and everything else. And he came back and he made an offer to another gentleman whose name was Mr. Wagner. They ended up starting a business operation here. Back then it was called Dead Falls, and the Dead Falls Trading Post was started. The saloon was increased, and the brothels was increased. And
so did he run everything here then?
He mm-hmm. did. And in 1863, it was a thriving little community, and he built the Station Master's House, which is actually our tasting room. And we're sitting in here in the stone building, which was the livery stable back then, and the little cottage up in the front, which is the residence of the chef at this amazing steakhouse right next to the tasting room, which is the old saloon. That little house was the Pony Express station, the jailhouse, and
cool.
land title.
Can you stay in Menka's Corner, or do you have to go a couple miles down the road?
You could actually stay right here. We have, as Frank Wieser mentioned, Chateau Jean, mm-hmm. But we also have the Barrel Room Cottage directly above us.
Oh, how cool.
Beautiful two-bedroom, two-bath, full kitchen that is located at the Menkes Gardens where we're at.
And that's an Airbnb.
And that's an Airbnb uh-huh. or VRBO mm-hmm. or directly through Wieser.com.
And just as a average, what would overnight rate be?
$300 a night, mm-hmm. two-night minimum. And then our average on our Chateau Jean, which is literally 30 seconds driving as well, beautiful vineyards around you, that average is about $1,200 a night, three-night minimum. But it's a whole estate.
Oh, nice.
It's beautiful.
So you'd want to do a special occasion for that one.
Oh, the special occasion is visiting Sassoon Valley with the beautiful wineries all around you. There's so much to offer right here in our backyard.
And it's interesting because in the general area, I mean, you're not far from Sacramento, basically kind of San Joaquin Valley and the tidal areas and whatnot. Yet you turn your back and here are these mountains right across the street.
We're centrally located, like you said. Yeah. We're 45 minutes away from Sacramento, 45 minutes away from San Francisco. And then we're right in the middle with vineyards wherever you look, mm-hmm. all around you.
That's so crazy. Because based even just on the geography, the demographic distances, this place should be crazy viral like downtown Napa. So well, it still is under the radar, isn't it?
It is under the radar to anybody outside of Solano County. Mm-hmm. But in Solano County, it's the heartbeat. Any given evening and weekend, you'll see somewhere around 500 people between the filling station, which is mm-hmm. a great microbrewery across the street, the antique shop, the restaurant, and then the tasting room. And our three wineries are all within a half mile of each other, so you can actually take a walk or you can just take a quick drive from one winery to the other.
And what a great biking valley.
It is. In fact, there was a biking race this morning that was going through the valley. They all have biking lanes now, so it's very biker-friendly, and all the businesses are very biker-friendly.
Back to your local getaway, as I drove up this afternoon at like 3:45, it was rocking and rolling. And you could sense that these were not international travelers as much as from Sacramento Valley or whatever. You knew they were easy getaway hangout.
About 90% of our visitors are from a 50-mile radius, and so we're not really stuck with the seasonal ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. Kind of evens it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. All things being said, you guys, I can sense literally no bias as an objective guy dropping in that this place is ripe to go off and go viral. And so the question is, what if? What if you get too successful?
Well, the valley has some great protections. Number one, I should mention, this valley is the registered Petit Sirah capital of the world.
What?
And Petit Sirah was 66% of California's production up until 1976. Mm-hmm. So this valley is very unique, and what was important to the founders of the valley is that they reserved it to 20-acre minimum. And all of these family 20-acre plots are allowed to have tasting rooms, allowed to have a small family winery, and allowed to have a restaurant.
In the whole Sassoon Valley, how many wineries are there? How many tasting rooms, roughly?
about 36 different people making wine in Sassoon Valley.
With their individual labels.
With different individual labels. Mm-hmm. We have, for example, 25 labels. So many others have several labels as mm-hmm. well. But also, we have people like Camus, who has just built a very large winery on the other side of the freeway. And what they've done now is they've just built a show place that is unbelievable. It's with gardens, and it mimics the Apple Welcome Center in Cupertino, California, with all of the suspended roofs, grass and greenery and mm-hmm. the glass around. And they are getting ready to open up this fall with their tasting room. And we have Back Road Vines. And we've had the winery here, Lanza Family, Wooden Valley Winery, that's been here for 95 years.
Oh, how cool. Still producing.
Still, but ran by the same family, still producing wonderful wines.
And their label is, again?
Wooden Valley.
That's so cool. Tell us about some of the annual cool events you guys put on.
So we do a lot of fun events now that we're open again. So mm-hmm. we're excited to replan. We have our Veezer Stock Series, which is all the big tribute bands. When I mean big tribute, we know Journey, Chicago, Boston, Fleetwood Mac instead of, you know, Fleetwood
yeah.
Mac.
Yeah.
So all the big tributes. So we do that all summer long.
And where does that take place?
Mostly at the Blue Victorian Winery. So
you have some large outdoor venue.
Yeah. Absolutely. Make it super safe, especially with now with social distancing masks. Mm-hmm. We make it where everyone's comfortable to come on site and party together, mm-hmm. but in a safe way, of course.
Right. How many people would you imagine might come this year to an individual event?
At least 500 per.
Mm-hmm. So intimate, and yeah.
But we have the space for it.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it good. And then we have, which we love, our club membership is our chieftain, which we call them chieftains. And mm-hmm. our chieftain club membership, we do an annual gala for them. That we do make it very intimate, where we're doing it 3 weekends long. It's 5-course meal. All our future wines are being highlighted, mm-hmm. live entertainment, celebrity guests, and we're doing that in a span of 3 weekends for all our Chieftain Club members.
The whole scheme of things that you're most proud of, what are the coolest things that you would want to share you're most proud of in the valley, in the whole area?
What we're most proud of is this valley has some of the most amazing winemakers and winery owners. So you're going to feel special no matter where you go.
And you get to meet the actual winemaker and the owner.
The owners, yeah. the people, and you are going to taste some very high-quality wines. This mountain range that we have here, that's the Twin Sisters, which is the double peaks that you see in the back, that is roughly about just under the height of Mount Diablo, so it's a little over 3,000 feet.
Wow.
What happens is that mountain range is between us and downtown Napa is only 9 miles. That mountain range is a fog dam in the morning. So Napa gets stuck in the fog till about 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We have this bright early sun at 5:30 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon, and then that mountain becomes a sun dam.
Mm-hmm.
And it instantly, as the sun drops behind, the temperature drops to where you just open your windows. You don't need any air conditioning.
Right.
A mild breeze comes through till about 7 o'clock that mm-hmm. evening. It rehydrates the grapes, which makes this the ideal place for growing the Petit Sirah.
So even though you do have the valley hot temperatures, but you have that benefit, like Lodi, of some maritime influence of the cooling, correct?
Very much so.
Okay.
And that rehydration forces the grapes to expand and contract, and as the roots go deeper in there, it's a whole new millennium of minerals, of wildflowers, mm-hmm. and of volcanic ashes that it's bringing back up into that bottle for you. It's an amazing effect, and our flagship wine is La Salette. And we were awarded a bid of $30,000 for a 1.5-bottle Magnum at a charity auction. And it went viral around the world. The Petit Sirah got this great bid on the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, we have become world famous for that. And another sister of the Petit Sirah, which is now being made with Camus Winery here in the valley, Camus Winery got the Grand Derif, which is also another name for the Petit Sirah.
Like Derif?
Grand Derif.
Yeah. But that's an old classic.
Well,
grape, yeah.
See, the Petit Sirah came over with Baron Hegarty in the Buena Vista Winery mm-hmm. in the 1820s, and it came over as a Derif. But somehow, over in Northern California, it cross-contaminated with the Carignan grape. And the Carignan grape gave it that dark, inky color and that burst of blackberry. It's a wine like no other, and wow. It's slightly different from the Derif. And mm-hmm. that's why Camus came up with the Grand Derif, is because it is a whole new version of the Derif. But we call it Petit Sirah in this mm-hmm. valley, and that's we're the capital of it. All the wineries have different types of versions of Petit Sirah, but Cabernet, mm-hmm. Zinfandel, Sauvignon Blancs, Chardonnays.
You can do a good Chardonnay here.
Excellent. Yeah. In fact, Pam can tell you something about the Chardonnay.
Yeah, please do.
We just won at the North Coast Wine Challenge, best all-around class of the Chardonnay.
Wow.
Scored 96 points.
And how would you describe it?
Oh, you have that nice creamy, buttery, mm-hmm. but not oaky.
Right,
so it
right.
still has that nice, clean, crisp finish, mm-hmm. but with all the
kind of the
texture.
Best of both, huh?
Yes, best of
yeah.
both worlds.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have great accolades behind Jake Stussy, the winemaker, is a rock star. Absolutely rock star. What you have here on the table, the 16 John Zinfandel, gold winner at the San Francisco Chronicle, the 16 Cassie Petit Sirah, double gold also at the San Francisco Chronicle. So, you know, just because
Frank
is not all about, you know, awards, mm-hmm. but you're kind of forced just to show, hey,
sure.
we got great wine too over here in Sassoon
yeah.
Valley. You know, you're forced to do that. He's about making great, the best wine ever. And the accolades is just to show what we're doing.
All right. I hate to say this, but Frank has to catch the bus for Napa. So we got a couple minutes and then literally you got to go. So share our last parting thoughts. And again, I'm just tripping out on what a great getaway all the way up and down the coast where I am down in San Luis Obispo County. What a cool getaway.
You know, we've seen many valleys come in and they build large monstrosities of wineries and different architectures that don't blend with the history mm-hmm. and that. And it was important for us to preserve this little village of Mancos Corners. We actually vote in a mayor, and I appoint a mayor every 6 months out here, and they have to pick 3 months of a charity that they're going to support and do promotional drives for mm-hmm. and that local charity. Connected with me because my family is Hungarian Portuguese, so I also have that Hungarian connection, and I am a miner. And just like Mr. Manka, who came here in the 1853, mm-hmm. I came here because I was associated with the gold mine that was built in Knoxville.
Oh, wow.
And I worked for a company called TIC. Since that time, I started my own mining construction company and worked all around the world. So this is my oasis to come back, and this is a place I love to entertain and host.
And one more loop back, it's still blowing my mind, is the historic architectural bones of this little corner. You're saying stage stop. 1850s, 1860s structures, correct?
You know, when the foreigners came into this country in the 1820s, this was Mexico. And King Ferdinand had made an offer when he was realizing he was losing his kingdom. He tried to bring in American immigrants that came in, but these Americans were Irish, they were Portuguese, they were Hungarians, they were French and English. And so you have the menage of a Tuscany-style home with an English garden, and the vineyards and the terraces look just like a Villani on the Croatian-Hungarian border by the Lake Balaton. So there's so many different unique things that were preserved, and it's just like going into the past but having all the convenience of the future.
Okay, Frank, we got to walk you to the bus stop. But before we go, for further information,
visit our website, veezer.com, or email me directly, pam@vizier.com.
And we can learn all about the whole Sassoon Valley, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Again, my name is Frank Vizier, or Vezer, if you want to say it correctly. And that's V as in Victor, E as in Elephant, Z as in Zebra, E-R.
Pam, Frank, thank you so much. What a great treat today. I'm so glad I stopped in. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Sassoon Valley, California. We'll see you here.
This is the first installment of a multi-part podcast series focused on Fairfield, California's diverse attractions and history. Stay tuned for upcoming podcasts featuring an insider's tour at the Jelly Belly Candy Company, a visit with the owners of the award-winning Il Fiorello Olive Oil Company, a visit at the American Armory Museum, and more cool Fairfield area destinations and activities.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolff, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
I'll be turning 33 next Friday morning. Friday morning 15 years ago, my grandfather called me to his bedside, and he told me there was something I should know. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, the land will save you, wait and see.
So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver to work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leapers Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, the land will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today, but in the chaos all around me, I can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see.